So I'm Terry Preston, and I've been an owner out here since 79, lived here for a year or two, and then got married and moved away, and we moved back when we rebuilt our house after Ivan.
Preston actually bought her home off Via de Luna on Pensacola Beach in April of 79, a few months before Frederick's landfall. At the time, the graduate of the Merchant Marine Academy worked as a ship's mate for Exxon. She says her neighborhood already was built out, but there was plenty of room for growth elsewhere on the island.
It was not nearly as developed as it is now. Of course, everything east of my neighborhood wasn't even in existence. We were the last neighborhood on the beach. So you've got Sugar Bowl, Cali Hermosa, two more neighborhoods, all the towers at Portofino. It was all just dunes, just open beach.
Back then, she recalls, Via de Luna was a two-lane road. There were few condos and hotels. Many of the houses on the beach were single-story concrete block. And the Sugar Bowl was the center of a circular group of tall white sand dunes and not a neighborhood.
So it's definitely developed a lot more since Frederick, but the dunes, especially down Fort Pickens Road, were huge. I mean, 2, 3, 4 stories high, beautiful. It was amazing.
Well, some of my memories of coming out here would be driving down to the end of Santa Rosa Island into the Fort Pickens area.
This is Mike Amond, a retired National Park Service ranger. He's been a resident of the Pensacola area since the early 1970s, living mostly on Perdido Key. The Gulf winds are blustering the day we meet to discuss the 1979 hurricane at Park West on Fort Pickens Road.
And at that time, you wouldn't see the Gulf or the Sound in many cases, or the bay, on either side as you drove down because the dunes were so large. Once you got to the seawall at the end of the island, there was a field of very high dunes that you could walk through to get out to the point.
In the late 1970s, in the run-up to Hurricane Frederick, the dunes on Pensacola Beach generally were thought to be taller and wider than they've been since. The Fort Pickens Discovery Center includes an image depicting dunes that were 30 feet tall in the 1950s and 60s. Back then, many areas required beachgoers to cut a path in order to climb up and over the dunes to get to the water. The dunes on the gulf behind Terry Preston's house, which is now on pilings, were not so big back then, measuring only about 10 feet. She recounts watching the approach of Hurricane Frederick on television.
I first saw Pensacola Beach during Frederick on the news. I was sitting at anchor on a ship in Galveston waiting to go up the river and watching the evening news because we knew there was a storm in the gulf, and I knew it was going to hit somewhere near Pensacola. And I'm looking at these waves just banging away at a pier, and I realized that was our pier at my beach where I had just bought a house like 4 months earlier. So.
Hurricane Frederick was a strong Category 4 storm when it made landfall at Dolphin Island west of Pensacola on the evening of September 12th, 1979. This is audio from WKRG-TV5's 10-year retrospective, Hurricane Frederick, A Night to Remember.
September 13th. The fury of Hurricane Frederick has left a path of destruction 250 miles wide and 150 miles deep. Hurricane force winds had stretched from Hancock, Mississippi to east of Pensacola.
The Pensacola area recorded 96-mile-an-hour winds and storm surge as high as 15 feet.
Overall, Pensacola fared better than other coastal areas, but there was heavy damage along the water nonetheless.
The worst damage is to the interior. The rising water inside came up a foot and a half or 2 feet on our furniture.
Sand had literally covered all the way across the cul-de-sac, up my driveway, over my lawn, up to the doors. But for whatever reason, my house was just a little bit higher than a lot of the others, and I got no water inside the house.
Terry Preston counts herself fortunate. Overall, damage from Frederick topped $2 billion, including $1.7 billion in the United States. At the time, it was the costliest storm in U.S. history. A post-Frederick report from the Army Corps of Engineers showed damage to homes and infrastructure across Perdido Key and Santa Rosa Island in Escambia County cost nearly $6 million. Additionally, according to the report, the wind and storm surge, quote, moved and flattened the primary dune system from Pensacola Beach to Horn Island, Mississippi.
You had probably 2 to 3 feet of sand on the roads and across. Everything was flat. There were no dunes where they were low. Like where we were, it was flat.
Actually, I saw Perdido Key first, and it was surprising just how much damage had been done. The key was flattened. Most of the houses were gone.
Again, Mike Amon.
I actually got a job out here to rebuild the dunes. And when we arrived out here in the winter of 80, it was just no dunes at all.
While those large dunes of the day were mostly gone, they did their job. An official quoted in an article from the Pensacola News Journal 40 years ago said all structures on the island would have suffered far greater devastation without the protection of the dunes. As noted by Amon, dune restoration began right after Frederick. Dunes were flattened again in 1995 by Hurricane Opal, but the first beach nourishment project on Pensacola Beach didn't occur until 2002. It was necessary again just a couple of years later, post-Ivan, and most recently in 2016. From the beach behind her house, Terry Preston likes the progress.
Maybe another 3-4 foot of dune. We'll be back to where we were.
So a few more years without a storm?
Gosh, keep your fingers and toes crossed. Yeah, that would be great.
Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.